I'm glad to see all of you here today, and I want to briefly introduce to you our chapel leaders. The sermon is going to be brought by Danny Phillips, and you have some biographical information about him in your program. I believe he was working in banking for 10 years rather than 6 years, but otherwise the information there is correct. He's come to us this year after spending some previous part of his theological education at Southwestern Seminary, but he's been with us this year. Our scripture reading is going to be led by Lynn Porter Horn, and our prayer concerns in the seminary family will be brought by Mark Francis. The hymn that...
Have you ever measured your tongue? It's easy. All you need is a tape measure and someone to verify the measurements. One night I was in my house and I called out to my wife and I said, "Honey, come here. I want you to measure my tongue." And she looked at me as if I was crazy. And I said, "I am serious. I want you to measure my tongue." So she went and got the tape measure, and I stuck out my tongue, and would you believe she asked me to quit holding back? And as she measured my tongue, I thought of the doctor's office. But that tape measure was cold and hard compared to the doctor's stick. I'm glad we didn't have any visitors that night. They would have probably took both of us to the funny farm. But you know, my wife was surprised when she got through measuring my tongue because it was very small compared to my 5'6" frame and my weight unknown. The New Testament talks about the tongue in the book of James. And it talks about controlling the tongue. And we could ask the question today, why is it so important for you and for me to control our tongues? This passage of Scripture in James 3, 1 through 12, gives us three reasons for us to control our tongues. The first reason we're to control our tongues is because we are accountable to God. Look at what verse 1 says. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment." As I read this passage of Scripture, my mind drifted back to the Old Testament. And I remembered a story about Miriam and Aaron becoming angry with Moses because of the woman that he had married. And they asked him a question in Numbers 12, verse 2. They said, "Moses, does the Lord only speak through you? Does he not speak through us?" And the Lord heard their conversation. And he gathered them together at the tent of meeting. And he summoned Miriam and Aaron before him. And in verse 9 it says, his anger was revealed to them. And when he departed, Miriam was leprous. I work at First Citizens Bank in Raleigh. I work in the cash letter department, second shift in the operations center. My supervisor was always in disagreement with management. And he told us every day that he disagreed with management. And I'm here to tell you today that those words traveled down that hall into the management offices. And he was held accountable for what he said. And the end result was he was dismissed from his job. If I could get Miriam to stand before you here today, she would remind us that we are accountable for what we say. If I could locate my former supervisor and I could stand him here beside me today, he would stress to you and to me that we are accountable for what we say. The first reason we are to control our speech is because we are accountable to God. The second reason we are to control our speech is because we have the potential for evil. Look in verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. It talks about a fire. And in verse 5, it talks about a small spark that starts the fire. How many of you have been camping? And you know when it comes nighttime, you light the match to build a fire. And that fire provides several things for us. It provides heat to keep us warm. It provides heat so that we can cook foods. And it also provides light so that we can see in the darkness. All these are good, as long as that fire is in control. But you let that fire get out of control, and it becomes dangerous and destructive. And our tongues out of control becomes dangerous and destructive. Paul says in Romans 3, 13 and 14, their throats are open graves. Their tongues are deceitful. The poison of viper is on the lips. The tongues are full of bitterness and cursing. And James says in verse 8, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. I remember my first year in junior high. It was a very exciting time for me because I thought I was grown. Do you remember your first days in junior high? But those exciting times became very sad times for me. You see, I started to have a weight problem, and as you can look at me today, I still have it. And my friends and my fellow students started to make fun of me and call me awful names. And I can honestly stand here before you today and tell you that those names are still embedded in my mind. maybe when you were growing up, you didn't have a weight problem. But maybe you had to wear glasses and the kids called you Four Eyes. Maybe it was the way that your mother combed your hair. Maybe it was the clothes that your mother made you wear that just was not in style. Or maybe it was the way you talked. It's sad to say that it does not stop with kids, but it carries over into the adult life. And it's even sadder to say today that it carries over into our Christian life. Have you heard these comments? As long as that pastor is in this church, I will not participate. Have you heard this one? As long as that Sunday school teacher is teaching this class, I will not attend. Or have you heard this one? Have you heard the latest news about our church? And we can even bring it closer to home for us today. Have you heard the latest news about our seminary? And my friends, James says this should not be. The second reason we're to control our speech is because we have the potential for evil. The third reason we're to control our speech is because we have the potential for hypocrisy. Look at verse 9 and 10 with me, please. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. And I like what James does. He goes further in verse 11 and 12, and he asks some questions. He says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Can salt water produce fresh? I believe Jesus answers these questions in Luke 6, 43 through 45. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is recognized by its fruit. And he goes on to say, the good man brings good things from the good stored in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things from the evil stored in his heart. I was in the savings and loan business for 10 years. And I had a young guy that was under me, and his office was two doors down from mine. And every Monday morning he would come in and we would talk about the Lord. If you could have heard that conversation, you would have thought he was a fine Christian man. He would then leave my office and go to his office, and our offices were so close together that if the doors were left open, you could hear our conversations. And he would go into his office, and he would gather together fellow employees, and he would talk about the bars that he attended that weekend. And he would talk about the drinks that he had. And he would talk about the girls. Do you know anybody like that today? I'm sure you do. I know professing Christians in the workplaces today, in the break areas today, that are telling dirty jokes. I know active deacons today that are in their workplaces using profanity every day as if it's their everyday language. And I know brothers and sisters in Christ that love to gossip about one another. Did I say gossip? I didn't mean that.